just a wealth of knowledge, and I say good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Rocco. Good morning to you, Rick, in the back room.
Rick, wave Rick through the window. There we go.
Rocco, do the listeners know that you look through a chained window or a fence, so to speak?
It gives me that New York City feeling to look through a barred window. That's pretty much what I saw when I look outside my window.
But you were right. As I came in, starting to clear, a very nice day in the city of Rome, in the area. I wanted to tell you, I guess there is a running joke that when you're decent on the radio, you have the face for radio. Is that?
I was told that years ago when I worked at WGHQ, and I was young. And my boss was Orville Norman, was his name, and he was a wonderful guy. And he told me I had a great voice and that I had a face for radio, and I didn't understand what the hell he meant for a long
time. I know now because I got a number of comments that I had the face for radio, and I really appreciated the feedback. I just wanted to let you know, we did this first one 4 weeks ago approximately, and Rick was kind enough to get me an MP3 file, and I don't know anything about all the technicalities involved with forwarding conversations like this along, but we were able to format that, or he was able to format the conversation, and I posted it. I have a website that I just started, so anyways, I had posted that clip, and it gave me an opportunity to track how many people finally got to the clip. We had an additional 500 people, over 500 people now.
What's the website address?
It's lutaverna.com, and right now it's the only thing on there, and it's lutaverna.com, and it's the only thing on there right now. I had just established the website just for myself to do some stuff, and I don't even know what kind of direction I'd have. So, but I was able to post the clip there, and again, I'm able to track how many times it's stepped on, so to speak, and we're over 500 times already.
It's
credit, awesome.
A credit to you for, as I was mentioning before, the history put down this way is great. I used to do it with Frank Tomeno, and we had gotten through the 20s of Central New York, and this is the only recording of any sort of history that will be. If you take it,
so,
true. No, really, it is a medium that people go to the books and they try and piece together the history of an area by looking at this letter or looking at this deed or asking somebody who's old. And I always thought, I've done it for the Masonic Lodge, and I did it with Frank for years at Galaxy, and I think that you keeping them. Because everything you say is historic about where things are. Because we talked about this off the air. You can drive into Rome, and you won't know it has history to it.
Very
you
true.
You don't know
very
where
true.
The Arsenal home is, or the fact that the fort sits where there used to be houses that had cannons in their front yards. You know,
in close proximity, yes.
And within 10 minutes of the fort, there's a ton to do, but you couldn't tell. So this is very important, and I thank you for coming.
Oh no, absolutely. And one of the things I enjoyed about having the MP3 file was, you know, people from out of the area now it's easy access. I can actually forward it to someone in an email if they wish, and they can listen to it that way. So they don't have to rely on Facebook or something like that to find the archive. And I hope that Rick's able to do it with any of these that we can when time permits. Well, last time I was here, Rick asked me, "What's the oldest home in Rome?" So, and since I had been on that first time, I've been inundated with requests to find this, find that, and I try to be nice and convey to people that I do have a job, and I'll try to do what I can in my part time. Well, to going back and looking for Rome's oldest home, there is no such thing. And one of the reasons I say that is, for me, I can go back as far as about 1817 is what I'm able to find online at my disposal. So, and technically, Rome was incorporated in 1870. So, where do we put the first home in Rome, so to speak? The Sentinel had come out with a list. They did one of those tabloid tales of the past or something.
Yeah.
Well, they put 50 properties that were the oldest properties in Rome. But I didn't see that they alluded to the fact if that was as of 1870 or, any specific date. So we have this wonderful area of history. Rome just existed, like many areas.
Poof, like Brigadoon, one day
it was here, and then you know the city fathers back then in 1870 decided to incorporate. And along that line, you and I off air had talked about a timeline. Well, after 1870, I find that there were no paved roads in the city of Rome until 1899.
Get out of here.
That long after it became a city, 1899 was when they first paved. Now, a lot of that had to do with, now the canals weren't, the Black River Canal was abandoned in 1925. So we had paving way before that. The Black River Canal was abandoned in 1925. The Erie Canal was abandoned thereafter, let's say, sometime in, I believe it's the 1940s, was when the Erie Canal was abandoned. And then subsequently the city filled in both canals. And then we had, mystically, magically, we had land where they were. Back to the paving, I had gone back through, and the first street paved, because I know people like to hear about first, just like Rick with his first home. The first street paved, 1899 West Domnick, from James Street to Washington Street, at the cost of $3,000.
And about a foot now.
And we, after that, they continued on, and by 19, and people bear with me because I actually look at notes. I have a lot of paperwork that I bring so I don't get lost with Rocco. By 1925, 40 miles had been paved in the city at a total cost of $1.5 million.
Yeah.
That was dollars in those days, obviously, and that was a total of 73 street. So when I do this, I'm riding up here this morning, and I'm like, I'm traveling by Franklin Field going, wow, you're on top of the old Black River Canal. You're on it. And you do the same thing when you go out Erie Boulevard. You're on.
Well, there's signs that tell you that, so you can, you know, mount on your history.
Would you like them marked better, Rocco?
Well, marked at all.
Well, someday I think, you know, we'll see eventually. Maybe not in our time. I'm of the Club 60 now, so who knows when things will transpire in the future. But I found it fascinating that back in 1925, the city was publishing a list of the paved streets, and it's just invaluable, this information, just to look at it. And you know, probably 0.1% of the listeners' ears peak when I say something like that, but I start reading and I don't know where to stop, and I don't know what that is about learning about these particular aspects of the city of Rome. But it's great to convey it. But and the other one that prior to that, Rick had asked, and I'm going backwards just a little bit, pardon me. Rick had asked about the Arsenal House, and the Arsenal House.
I've heard a lot about the Arsenal House.
Arsenal House still exists.
Where is it?
It still exists. 514 West Domnick Street.
It's home?
It's apartments, as I understand it. I haven't been in it.
Oh no, I'm sure. I'm sure they're high end apartments.
I did drive by it the other day, but the Arsenal House came to being, and it's funny because you go back to some of the things. You can actually find an ad, and this ad I have in my hand was 1975. The Arsenal House was for sale, and this is a house that goes back into the, let's say, mid-1800s. I have the date here somewhere, the mid-1800s, but in 1975, the house was for sale, and I believe it eventually went for
$30,000. 1814.
Rick came in and said 1814 it was built. So I thank you, Rick, for getting me the particular date. And that little ad that you have, the gentleman that bought it was the gentleman who planned to restore it. Dunster was his name at the time. And again, he did restore it. It has seven or ten fireplaces in or something. Evidently, it's quite a home. But again, it's apartment houses. So now the historical value is what?
Well, it depends on how much they've torn it up over the... you know, it can be restored. It's just... I don't know the section that it's in, but I'm guessing that it's probably not doctors and brain surgeons that are... You know, a place like that when it's broken up into apartments. They do that. They make so many of them so that they can make it rentable. And unfortunately,
oh,
unfortunately, somebody paints something pink and green and blue and purple, and holes get drilled in the wall, and it just goes downhill from there. And it's yes, it's sad, and people write and complain, please. But I'm just sorry that everything cannot be turned into an apartment, and just, you know, that's the.
And so, Rick, we have to stand corrected. It was actually, according to the Sentinel, 1813. You know, but you know what? We're only off by a year. And it was established as a federal arsenal at the time. It's on, let's see, during the War of 1812 is the reason it was there.
Is it on any historical register or anything like
it
that?
It is. It is on the National Register of Historic Places. So we know it's going to be there. And I think when they're on historic registers, don't they have to get approval for everything?
No.
They do or no?
Interior, no.
Just the exterior?
Yeah.
Because they did take off, there was a porch put on it, but they took it off and brought it back to its original footprint, so to speak.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's one of the things that was in the paper, that they had done that. It's built in Federalist style, not that I know anything what's different styles. I'm sure there's people out there that do. But, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you drive by it, there is a marker. Mm. There, so you would be happy to know that there is a marker there. There is.
You know what? I'm going to drive by the place. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to comment about it. Oh yeah, I drive by here.
And it's, you know, you go by there. It's a very nice property. It's been kept up to a certain degree, but again, it's apartments. So now that particular part of town, they've addressed sidewalks that you've mentioned on air a couple of days. There was a sidewalk. Upkeep program that went through there through West Rome. I think it's being extended out. So there is improvements going on there, which make the area that much nicer. And evidently, we turned the first shovel for the Erie Canal somewhere in that vicinity with Wood Creek.
Yeah,
with Wood Creek near there. Right? And again,
I couldn't even get that straight from. I had four different people I interviewed.
That's because there is no exact. They didn't. That was something that wasn't actually recorded for some reason. Maybe they didn't want us to know. That's the thing, is there's no exact point. Nobody was sitting there and doing a drawing or did we have cameras back then? You know, I don't. There's we see. Depictions.
Somebody from Edge said it wasn't even in Rome.
It is in Rome. No, it is.
In the middle of some.
From what I read, it is in Rome. So, and again, it's near Wood Creek, the carrying place, and things of that nature. As far as that goes, they did. From what I said and you mentioned, it's just they described. Nobody can put the exact shovel in the ground again.
And here's my gripe that we were talking. Now my gripe is that you've got a historical city. A city with history. A city. I want to change that because people get on me and say, "No, it's only been from the 1870s." Yet you can't even. Nobody can seem to agree on what happened at any given time. Even if you lied and put a plaque up that said George Washington slept here, and then lied about it for 100 years, it all of a sudden becomes George Washington slept there.
Well, one of the reasons that I believe is because of the politics involved. Even back then, we know there was issues with. You know, we got Clinton's ditch out of it. That's what we knew it as for the longest time. And again,
there's a sign for that as you come into Rome. It's on as you come on Erie Boulevard around the curve.
There,
it says Clinton's ditch.
There is.
And
there
is. Wow, that's really how you want to.
But again, at some point, I think it was considered a folly. Nobody was sure that it was going to take place. But when you look at the history of the two canals, and not to be redundant, but that brought all the commerce. That opened up this entire area, because I think a trip to New York City at the time, once they had the Erie Canal / Barge Canal, and you noticed how nowadays it's no longer referred to the Barge Canal. Now it's the Erie Canal.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
because of its historical value. Somebody saw that it could generate more money now as the Erie Canal versus being the Barge Canal. But it opened up the avenue to New York City, as I understand it, because it was quite a long trip to New York on a horse. And
the way you view the history here, I can sum it up with this somewhat sarcastic comment. We just had the 200th anniversary of the starting of the Erie Canal, which was here in Rome. And when did we celebrate the 200th anniversary?
A little bit after it.
Well, because...
We couldn't.
Did it sneak up on you, or was it that somebody forgot that on? I know July 4th is not a big holiday in this country to begin with, but why celebrate the 200th anniversary of something on a major holiday?
Appropriate time for that's water under the bridge.
Wouldn't
Rick say something like that?
Are we going to change Christmas or Thanksgiving right now? I buy my gifts at a certain time of year, but if we're going to change, December 25th...
Well, since we have a worldwide audience, they may not understand some of these, small discrepancies in the area. And that's
the beauty of history.
And that is, we can move history just a little bit. Something real quick, and this, we have a number of followers on Facebook, and with the people in places being as popular as it is, I think Mike's approaching, I mentioned the last time, 17,000 members. There's a lot of people that look, and a lot of people don't say one word, and we all understand that. But yesterday they brought up, or a couple of days ago, or Tim Merchant, I think it was, brought up the Mohawk Lanes, and to see the number of people that recall Mohawk Lanes, the bowling center, across the street here, well, kind of across the street here, just up the road a little bit, they sometimes... There's a lot of history right there. There's all kinds of history going on with a simple establishment like that. And many people thought of there's, three bowling alleys. There was actually four bowling alleys. And at one time, I had found that there was a fifth bowling alley, but this was prior to the other four. There was a Crescent Alleys. You may have bowled there, Rocco.
Are those memories versus history, though? Everybody that becomes old-timers wants to wax poetic about their childhood.
Well, I don't... It's one of those things. I found that people go, wow, I didn't know that. They had commented to me. I had no idea that, was a part of our local history. But if... In this area, bowling was a huge, huge undertaking. I mean, talk about recreational sport... Drinking sport, yes, but a recreational sport. And people forget, if we go through history, people forget. There was a number of businesses in the Rome area, number of businesses that sponsored teams. I of the belief we lost the bowling houses. No, we lost Rome Bowling Center. We didn't lose it. Rome Bowling Center became Ace Hardware. Mohawk Alleys doesn't exist. Mohawk Lanes doesn't exist anymore. Kingpin's the survivor in the area. But to me, all those businesses were the ones that sponsored these leagues. They paid for certain amount of entry or stuff. Generally speaking, the people that participated in bowling paid their own ways. But when it came to shirts and what have you and special competitions, all the businesses that we used to have in Rome funded those. So once we started... This is just my take on it. Once we started losing those businesses, we lost those successful sponsorships. And no different than in softball, I believe. Some of the softball leagues that you would have out at Wright Hazleton or wherever, that's the big park for softball, as I know it. But we started losing that funding mechanism, and with it went that leisure activity of bowling, plus, a large percent of the population had moved. When the base left us in 1992, but it was just one of those things I thought about when you go to the only bowling center now at Kingpin, there was a lot of competition back days of history.
Utah only has one bowling alley now. It's bowling suffered mightily when businesses moved. We sponsor a bowling team at my place.
Right. Very good.
But finding people that want to bowl, I guess it's become like anything else. It's kind of trite. It's nice to have. I think it's a. I sponsor them right away. We actually won trophies years ago. But now to try and put a softball team together, get people to go to a company.
Well, yeah, leisure activity, yeah.
Nobody does that shamefully anymore.
No, a lot of people are too busy on their phone, and that's their leisure activity. I did want to mention, because Tim Merchant was part of WKAL for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When I start looking at stuff, I had to know who had the first 300 game in Rome. Jim Ross, April 1939. Now everyone
that's
knows.
Amazing.
First 300 game. It's actually, that's documented, Rocco.
No, well, I was going to be sarcastic. You say that right. On my face.
I caught you.
We don't know where the Erie Canal dirt was turned over.
That's documented April 1939 at the Crescent Alleys, which were down on South James Street. So below the building that you said you one time had near Walgreens or mm-hmm. in that
yeah.
proximity. So somewhere's on South, and I believe Crescent Alleys burned. I remember crossing some information. I couldn't duplicate my efforts in a timely fashion, but I believe they had a fire because Crescent Alley's was on the third floor of the building.
We got a couple of minutes left. You wanted
yeah.
to mention the American Corner.
Yes, I did. I have that right
I
in my
one
hand.
One question about it: why is it called the American Corner? And is that a long time name, or was that something that they came up with in the 70s when they were building that monstrosity bridge and everything?
Again, history is fluid. There is no definitive.
No, but I learned in school. No, it's not
there,
fluid.
There is no definitive answer on the American Corner. So I asked a few old timers. They said that's where the Americans went. Well, that doesn't. But and again, I can. Rome was in the 1800s. Rome was a mix. You had the Germans. You had the Italians coming. You know
sure.
that. So I think it was this one place where everybody met up. They ended up calling it the American Corner. Now, that's from a couple old-timers that I got that information. And they said the exact same thing. Well, that's...
So it's like Little Italy was over here.
Yeah, and so I have not been able to track it down. I'm going to keep working at it to see. But I found a map that the Sentinel produced in 1874 of what you and I would call the American Corner from 1810. It existed that long. And remember,
can
Rome...
Was called that then?
Well, in that time frame, it became this entity, the American Corner.
Gotcha.
All right? So nobody spelled it out for you as to, okay, today we're calling it the American Corner. But the thing is, so we have this gap in time from 1810 to 18... I pull up the map from 1874 is when the Sentinel published the map of Rome in 1810. So somewhere in that 64 years, it evolved into the American Corner.
I always wondered if it had been a ribbon cutting, and this is what it is because
I've not found. I've
American
not found. Yeah,
there.
I haven't found evidence of that. And again, I mean, I'm looking at doing a couple hours of research, and then the next day a couple, because one thing leads you to another when you're doing this kind of research, and then you get caught up and you get pulled to a different direction.
Well, you'll find yourself 100 years old before you know it.
Well,
you're still looking at one thing.
And I don't have enough gray hair now as it is, but it's interesting because this particular map, and these are the kind of things I'll eventually put them on this little website so people can just have something some people will, some people won't. That's not the point. The point is to say that, hey, there was a Bill Smith's in downtown Rome at one time, you know, but this is before downtown truly existed. So they had this entity, this buzz of activity to the west of the fort. They do show the fort in some of these depictions from 1874 Sentinel. They show the fort. They show the feeder canal coming off of the Mohawk River that went to, and back then the Erie Canal was the Inland Navigation Company's canal, and I guess maybe an entity actually owned a portion of the canal. Now, I may be mistaken. This may have been a feeder from the actual Erie Canal, but its proximity looks like it's exactly at the Erie, Erie Boulevard, Erie Canal. And again, Inland Navigation Company's canal.
We've run out of time.
We have?
Yes, we have 24 minutes.
Man.
Please come back, please. Because you make me ask more questions.
I like your idea of a timeline.
More questions than... I'll tell you this. Rome is one of the places that has the least you can find out about it without... If you go into Utica, there's 974 books written about just downtown. Downtown from the air, downtown from the east, downtown from the west. They show the same buildings just from four different... I ate here, and it's the same place somebody else ate. Rome, go to a bookstore and say, hey, I want to find something about Rome, New York. Oh, well, this is Rome, Italy.
But,
and then there's four books about Rome, New York, and they're about very specific little things, like a 100-square-foot area.
And we have to remember that Jervis Library has a collection of history of Rome.
A nice, comprehensive, easy-to-understand, so when people get here, you can find out something about
Rome. They have a large collection.
There's tons of history.
We just have to have people put their phone down and go to the library.
Lou Taverna, thank you very
much. Thank you, Rocco. Thank
you,
Rick.
Susan Streeter, we're going to be back after these messages with Susan Streeter. It disappears. 23 minutes.
Six, piano, public speaking, and writing on the...